Her name was Mary, and she went to a large women's conference. And when the conference was over, everyone cleared out of the large auditorium, and the leader of the conference was gathering her books and all of her notes and preparing to leave. And as she left, Mary was the only one in the auditorium still sitting in her seat with her head in her hands and slumped shoulders. And so the leader of the conference went over and sat next to her and asked her if there was a problem. And of course, she had tears in her eyes. And as she was sharing, she shared that she has three children, of which her oldest, 17-year-old, has muscular dystrophy, has been in a wheelchair most of his life, and the other two have rather severe learning disabilities, and her heart was breaking over that. But she said her main problem is that her husband is so mean and cruel. And that she came to this conference and she really only had one prayer for God, and that was that God would kill him, that he would take him out of her life, because she felt like she was in a cage. And she needed to be released. And she said that during this conference, as she continued to offer that prayer, that she heard God speak to her in the most vivid way that God had ever spoken to her. And she said, I heard him say was that even birds in a cage sing. And she says, what am I supposed to do with that? And the leader of the conference, feeling very impotent to speak any word of encouragement, said, if God told you that even birds in a cage sing, then you better find your song. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Here is the truth, is that we all experience valleys. Valleys are reality of life. They are truth. They are not pleasant. They oftentimes are scary. But the fact of the matter is, life is a mixture of pain and pleasure. Of victory and defeat, of success and failure. Today, we're going to look at God's antidote to the dark valleys of life. Even in our darkest valley, our darkest day, the fact of the matter is God is there. That is the truth of Psalm 23. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, the context is that in Israel, there really is a valley of the shadow of death. It is a literal place. It is a steep, deep, and narrow canyon, and the sun only hits the bottom of this canyon when the sun is directly overhead at high noon. The rest of the time, the bottom of this canyon is dark and foreboding. And so David probably led his sheep through the valley of the shadow of death as he was growing up. It was a vivid picture for him, physically as well as metaphorically. All we have to do is go to the Bible and look up the word valley to see that valley consistently communicates in the Bible rough times in life. Joshua talks about the valley of calamity. Psalm 84 talks about the valley of weeping. Hosea talks about the valley of trouble. This verse in the original language really means the valley of deep darkness. So the question is, how do I handle the valleys of life? We need some valley perspective. Because there are five truths about valleys that we need to remember when we go through tough times. Are you ready for them? The first is this, is that valleys are inevitable. We need to enter into life and to cruise through life knowing that valleys are inevitable. They're going to happen, so we might as well count on them. Could be that you just came out of a valley, or that you're in one right now, or that you're, the fact is, or you're probably headed towards one. Valleys happen throughout life, one right after another. After every mountaintop, there seems to be a valley that follows. Jesus was realistic about this. In John chapter 16, he says, in this world, if you give your life to me, you will float free and never have any pain, any trouble, any calamity in your life. Is that what Jesus said? No. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. Not may, he says, you will have trouble. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's going to happen. You're going to have difficulty, disappointment, discouragement. There'll be times of suffering, of sorrow, of sickness. There will be times of frustration, of failure, of fatigue. The fact of the matter, they are going to happen. They are a normal part of life. They are inevitable. Don't be surprised by it. Secondly, valleys are also unpredictable. You cannot plan for them, schedule them, time them. Valleys are always unexpected. They usually happen at the worst possible time when you don't have time, when you're unprepared. Let me give you an example. Have you ever had a flat tire at a good time? My battery went dead on my car on Friday. Not a good time. I didn't plan it. I wouldn't have planned it any time. You know, the negative things that happen in life, we don't plan them. They are totally unpredictable. We can't schedule them. Valleys come suddenly. They are unpredictable. In fact, have you ever noticed how easily a good day can become a bad day? All it takes is a phone call. All it takes is a routine doctor's checkup and hearing his words, there's something abnormal here. It could be a freak accident. Valleys just happen. Jeremiah chapter 4, Jeremiah says, disaster follows disaster. In an instant, my tents are destroyed. My shelter falls in a moment. Valleys are unpredictable. Thirdly, valleys are impartial. Valleys are impartial. No one is immune to them. No one is insulated from pain and sorrow. No one gets to skate through life problem free. Everyone has problems, good people and bad people. Problems, trials, difficulties, disturbances, downtimes, depression. If you experience those, it does not mean that you're a bad person. It means that you are a person. Do you get that? Oftentimes when negative things happen to us, we make the direct correlation that that must be that we're being punished. That somehow something is wrong with me. If you have difficulty in your life, doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It means that you are a human being. That's all. The Bible is very clear that good things happen to bad people and sometimes bad things happen to good people. Valleys are impartial. They don't care how good or bad you are. It's part of life. Got it? Fourthly, valleys are also temporary. This is huge. If you get anything else today, please get this. Valleys are temporary. They have an end to them. They don't last. They are not a permanent location. David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This has been the most powerful image that has provided comfort for folks as they're going through difficult times, is that God does not say that you are going to live in the valley of the shadow of death. He does not say that you camp out in the valley of the shadow of death. He says you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It is not a dead end when you're in difficulty. It is merely a tunnel. There is a beginning and there is an end. You go through the tunnel and eventually you're out of it and back out in the light again. They don't come into your life to stay. They come to pass. 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, there is a wonderful joy ahead, even though the going is tough for a while down here. What he admits He admits that sometimes you're going to go through tough times. It's going to be rough. It's going to be difficult. You're going to have it, but it's only for a while. There is a wonderful joy ahead. Now, what Peter's talking about is there is a wonderful joy in heaven. And ultimately, that's the truth, is that no matter what might be going on here on earth, we have heaven waiting for us. There are no problems in heaven. There are no valleys in heaven. There are no dark days in heaven. While you may be harassed down here, in heaven you'll have no problems. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then that is where you're going. He says, don't get discouraged. Even if you live 80, 90 years and you have a problem your entire life, that is so insignificant compared to thousands and millions of years in eternity. You know, when we're going through it, it just seems so insurmountable and like it will never end. The fact of the matter is, if we were to chart your life on a continuum, here's your life on earth, and here is your life in eternity. That's what 1 Peter taught. And he goes on, he says, our troubles are short-lived, and there's an eternal glory which outweighs them all. They won't last. This will be short. The fact of the matter is, we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. They are temporary. It is not going to be the final word to your life story if you know Jesus, if you know the shepherd. Got it? 5. There is some purpose to valleys. Valleys are purposeful. You know, God allows us to go through valleys for a reason, whether we're experiencing doubt, depression, despair, discouragement, defeat. He's got a reason that he wants to allow us to go through that. 1 Peter 1, at the present time, you may be temporarily harassed by all kinds of trials. Notice that he says temporary. They aren't going to last forever. You're temporarily harassed by these problems. Could be their financial valleys. Could be their relational valleys. Could be their emotional valleys. All kinds of different trials. But he goes on to say, this is no accident. It happens to prove your faith. In other words, going through the valleys is a process that God uses to build our faith strong. It is not on the mountaintop where our faith grows strong. Folks, do you know that? Because when I'm on the mountaintop, I'm on top of the world. I don't really need God. It's when I'm in the valleys that I stop talking to Sam's sheep and I start screaming out to the shepherd. Because I don't know where to go and I'm scared and I'm discouraged and I'm depressed. And I need a way out. I need the shepherd. And so I scream out to shepherd. And through that process, it builds my faith. It builds my relationship with God. It builds my life. It builds character. That's the truth of the Word of God. The valleys are purposeful. And so once we got some perspective on the valleys, let's ask ourselves a question. What do we do when we go through those dark valleys? David says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. Let's take that and dissect it so that we get everything from it. Are you ready? The first thing we do is that we refuse to be discouraged. We refuse to be discouraged. I will fear no evil, David says. I will fear no evil. That's what David says as a person who has a relationship with a shepherd, puts his faith in God. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it says, I walk. Notice it says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't run. What do we do when we panic? We run. You know, he's not running through, he's not running away from. It says, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, there's an aura of calmness there, isn't there? Of deliberate steps that he's taking through the valley. David says, I'm not going to be afraid. I will calmly walk through the valley. Why? Because I'm so confident in my own ability? No, because you are with me. I'm going to walk slowly and confidently because you are with me. I'm going to refuse to be discouraged. A man was driving down the street while he stopped and saw a little league game going on. So he stopped to watch the game, and he asked one of the youngsters what the score was. And the kid says, we're losing 18-0. And the guy said, well, he says, I must say, you don't look very discouraged. And he says, discouraged? He says, why should we be discouraged? We haven't even come to up to bat yet. He hasn't had his shot yet. He's not going to be discouraged. That's what David's saying. I refuse to be discouraged. You can't go around the valley. You can't go under the valley. You can't go over the valley. You can only go through the valley. And he says, I will not fear evil. Will you notice that that means that he has made a choice? I will fear no evil. That is a setting of the will. It implies an act of volition, of decision. I will not be afraid. Can I say something based on that? If you're discouraged this morning, could be that you've chosen to be discouraged this morning. I mean, I don't know what your problem is. But the fact of the matter is, oftentimes we choose to be discouraged. You don't have to choose to be discouraged, but you're choosing to think discouraging thoughts. You're choosing to look at all the negatives. You're choosing to look at the problem, to focus on the problem, and not to look at the shepherd. Not to look at Christ and all the positive things. You're looking at the negative, and that's a choice. We have a choice of what we're going to look at. Are we going to look at the problem, or are we going to look at the problem solver? David is saying, I will fear no evil. And that's what God wants us to do, to choose, to make a deliberate act. And how do I choose not to be discouraged? It's simple, by focusing on God's power rather than on your problem. That's how you do it. And you know that's a reality. You can take two people, put them in the same situation, identical situation. It could be chaos, it could be a tragedy, it could be a crisis. And one of them will be blown away by it, and the other is actually strengthened by it. One is destroyed and distraught, and the other seems to get stronger. One of them falls apart, the other's made stronger. The difference is what you're focusing on. You need to focus not on your circumstance, but on Christ. That's what David does. I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Because you are with me. Colossians 1 says, God will strengthen you with his own great power so that you will not give up when troubles come, but you will be patient. The fact of the matter is human energy runs out, doesn't it? After a trial of a certain length of time, we don't have any energy left, no stamina. Human endurance is over. That's why we need the power of God in our lives to keep us going. That's why we need the shepherd and his power to go through the valley of the shadow of death. You got it? Number one is you refuse to be discouraged, for you are with me. Remember that God is with you, for you are with me. You are with me. You're with me every moment, Lord. God not only promises his power in the valley, he also promises his presence in the valley. You will never go through the valley by yourself. You'll never go through a dark day alone. God says, I will be with you. Look at what Isaiah 43, what God says there. He says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You're not going to drown. You're not going to burn up. You're not going to die. God says, I am with you. He will be with you every step of the way through the valley. God says there's nothing to fear when Jesus is near. We talked about that weeks ago. There is nothing to fear when Jesus is here. God doesn't sit up in heaven looking down on you saying, wow, that's a really bad situation. I hope you make it. I'll be up here cheering for you. He says, no, I am with you in the valley, walking with you hand in hand. God says, I will lead you through this. Again, when David gets to that valley, it changes from talking to Sammy sheep to talking to the shepherd. He stops talking about God, and he starts talking to God. You are with me. your rod, your staff, they comfort me. In the valleys of life, that brings us face to face with God. All of a sudden, the ultimate becomes the intimate. When I'm going through the valley, I don't want to talk about God. I want to talk to God. Religion, I don't want anything to do with religion. I want a relationship with the shepherd. Any mature believer will tell you that the times that they have been closest to God were those when they faced the greatest challenges in life. It draws us to our knees and it draws us to the feet of the shepherd. I'm with you. You're not going through this alone. We enjoy the mountaintops, and who of us doesn't love to live on the mountaintops? But the fact of the matter is we come into intimate contact with the shepherd in the valley. He promises us his presence. And thirdly, I rely on God's protection and guidance. I need to rely on God's protection and his guidance. David reminds himself that God's rod and his staff comforts him. Now, what does that mean? How does his rod, the shepherd's rod and the shepherd's staff comfort him? Well, the rod and the staff were two basic tools that shepherds used to protect and guide the sheep. The rod was basically about 2 feet long, and at the end of it was a heavy knot, and shepherds were very skilled at hurling that at any, like a missile, at anything that would attack the sheep. And so God is saying, when you go through the valley, I'm defending you. I'm protecting you. The rod of God will protect you. Today, shepherds don't use the rod. They use a gun. And it's equally as effective. What this is saying is that David is comforted because he knows that God is there to protect, to defend him. When you're going through the valley, the dark valleys of life, God is not sitting in heaven, you know, separate, apathetic, uninvolved. The good shepherd fights for you. That's what the Bible says. And while you're fighting in your life with that depression, that dejection, that chaos, that problem, God is fighting for you. He's fighting off spiritual forces. He is your defender and protector. That's what the rod represents. And the staff comforts him. Not only the rod, but the staff comforts him. Why? Because the staff is a long stick with a crook on the end. The shepherd uses the staff to guide and to comfort. He'll use the staff to draw the sheep near to him. He'll pull the sheep near him using the staff. And he'll also use the staff to guide the sheep along the path that he needs to go. So when you go through the valley, you're not going through it alone. God's going with you, and he's using his rod and his staff to protect and guide you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When you go through a valley of life, the scary parts are the shadows. In the darkness, you see the shadows on the wall as you go through the valley, as you go through the canyon, and you're thinking, how am I going to make it? David says, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't walk through the valley of death. He walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Shadow. One day, perhaps, a shadow is going to fall over your life. Over my life. We need to count on it. We'll experience one of those shadow moments. And when those times come, we need to remember three important things about shadows. The first is, shadows are always bigger than reality. They make things bigger. A shadow, have you ever noticed the shadow? This week, take inventory of your shadow. You're bigger. The shadow's bigger than you are. A shadow of a problem is bigger than it really is. Secondly, shadows can't hurt you. Ever been run over by a shadow? You know, there's a difference between a shadow of a truck and a truck. I'll be run over any day by a shadow of a truck. But hit by a truck is a different deal. And thirdly, there is no shadow without a light somewhere. So when you're going through a valley and you think the sun has stopped shining, that God is dead, he is uninterested, that you're all alone, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And when you look at him, you can't be afraid of all the other shadows around you, because Jesus is there. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look at your difficulty, you'll be distressed. But if you look at the light, you'll be at rest. It's a choice that we make. Psalm 34 says, "The righteous face many troubles. The good people face many troubles, but the Lord rescues them from each and every one." Here's a fact. Christians have disappointments. Christians get sick. Christians have financial problems. God's people have family problems. Believers go through valleys just like everybody else does. But there's a difference, and it's a big difference, and I want you to get it. The difference is, while believers and non-believers go through similar valleys of life, the difference for the Christian is not the absence of the shadow, but it's the presence of the shepherd. God is with you. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Amen? Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are our shepherd, and how blessed we are to call you our shepherd. You love us, you guide us, you protect us. Lord, you demonstrate today through your word in Psalm 23, verse 4, that even as we walk through difficult days that are scary, discouraging, depressing, that, Lord, what you do is you promise us that you will be with us and that you will take us through that valley because of you and not because of us. We know that there is a bright light at the end, and that light is the light of your power, your presence, your guiding power. Lord, I would pray today. That is something that we all want, because we all go through valleys and we all are limited in our power, limited in our understanding, limited in being able to negotiate our way out of it, that we need you to walk beside us. If there's anybody here, Lord, that has not received you as the Good Shepherd, received you as Lord of their lives, I pray that they would take a step and right now say this simple prayer: "Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Come into my life and take residence in my life. Be the owner of my life, the guide of my life, the Lord of my life." Could be that right now you are going through a valley. Open up your arms to receiving the Good Shepherd. He wants to be with you. He wants to guide you. He wants to protect you. Wants to love you. Lord, we are so thankful that you walk with us every step of our lives. You're not only a God who makes this marvelous world, you're not only a God that sustains this world, you're a God that cares enough about us each individually to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with us. I give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.